two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We will be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We are starting the morning talking about the drought. Ton, we've heard so much in the news this week about the drought, the Utah Farm Bureau asking all of their people to pray and fast for some rain, and it's a serious thing.
It really is. You know, we are facing unprecedented drought conditions, and you know, when we do this show and we talk about especially lawns, I feel kind of sheepish encouraging people to plant more lawn, especially right now, knowing that it's our biggest we use more water on our lawns than anything outside.
Right.
And so even I worry about it a little bit. I saw that email from the Farm Bureau, you know, encouraging for those that are religious to fast and pray to see if we can get relief from the drought. But, you know, in the meantime, I think that sometimes, and if we're getting religious, why not go in all the way? But if we're praying and not willing to do what we can, then, you know, is that going to be effective? And so in the meantime, what can we do as citizens to reduce water use?
Right. At the top of the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have tips on lawn watering. Right now, we want to talk about things to think about when you're planting your perennials and annuals. So you have come up with a great list that we put on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. But what should we be thinking about when we're planting right now?
Thinking about how you're going to irrigate those perennials and annuals. And so, you know, sprinklers, if the lawn sprinklers are hitting your flower bed, that's usually sufficient. But, you know, especially if it's a brand new area and you're going to be putting irrigation into that area, I would strongly consider for the perennials a drip or what would be called a gridded drip system that will water just right at the soil surface or just below so that you can minimize evaporation. The drip sometimes has some problems. It can clog if you don't have good filters and things, but you'll use less than 50% of the water that you would with overhead sprinklers using a drip system.
How much can we save too, and or need less water if we do things like, you know, using mulch or compost around our plants?
Lots. And so if you have a flower bed that's irrigated and another flower bed that has mulch over the top, just like bark mulch or grass clippings, than the one with a bark mulch or grass clippings that has about 2 to 3 inches of mulch mm-hmm. is going to need to be watered about 50% less often than the one that has no mulch over the top.
And that is huge.
It is. And so that keeps the weeds down. So it'll eliminate 60 or 70% of your weeding, but it also helps that you don't have to water as often.
Right. So you are spending a little bit more money on the mulch but you're making it up as far as water savings and weeding. You're back. Ooh.
You really are. And so, and especially during the spring, you know, if you've been watering, you know, like we normally would, and I'm not encouraging people to do that. And then with the fertilizer, we oftentimes have two excessive grass clippings. And one of the best places for those grass clippings is in the garden around your newly planted vegetables to help reduce water use and help keep the weeds down.
Right.
So you even have access a lot of times to that free mulch.
So I often think when I'm planting planting, you know, flowers in my yard, that the perennials are going to be more drought hardy. There are some great ones, but I don't often think about the annuals, that there are annuals that I can plant that are more drought hardy.
Yeah, and the list I generated was off the top of my head in 5 minutes, and so there are many more out there. But as far as annuals, Dusty Miller is one that it doesn't really – I actually don't like the flowers on Dusty mm-hmm. Miller. It's the foliage you want. But Dusty Miller, gazanias, lantana is one. They cost a little more up front, but they get big and they bloom the entire season and they have no pest problems. Mm-hmm. But they're quite drought hardy. California poppies need to be planted from seeds. Cleome, sometimes it's called
I've not heard
bee
of that
plant. Cleome okay. is one that is a fun one. This, a lot of the times it'll get 4 feet tall mm-hmm. and it blooms the last half of the summer. And so you need to use it as a foundation plant. And you don't get blossoms on it oftentimes until July. But when you do, it is just wonderful for the flowers because they're quite pretty, but it attracts so many pollinators in. And during that late summer period where there's fewer things blooming, the cleomes can be just a very important plant to keep those pollinators healthy in your yard.
I have to look at that. I've never planted that.
Yeah, so Cleome.
Okay.
And it's sometimes sold as bee plant, which people are sometimes afraid of bees, and so I don't like that name. But there's annual and perennial. I think actually they're all annual, but Cleome, Cleome. Okay. So some other ones, Mexican sunflower, zinnias, cosmos are one of my favorite. They're just, you know, part of that traditional English garden, mm-hmm. but they only need watered every couple of weeks and they're happy. Amaranth and then the annual vinca are a couple of more that are quite drought hardy.
All right, let's look at a few of the perennials before we take our callers again.
Okay, and this is again just off the top of my head. There are dozens of water-wise perennials, but sedums, both the ground cover and upright sedums, sometimes are called stone crops, mm-hmm. blue mist spirea. Red yucca, and this is one that's newer to the Wasatch Front. It's been grown in Phoenix and Vegas for years, but it's hardy on the Wasatch Front, and it looks kind of like a yucca, but it has these beautiful red flowers that it blooms the entire summer.
Now, do these get pretty large, though?
Red yuccas don't.
When I think of
yucca,
I think
of large
plants. Yeah, they don't.
They're going to be a foot high, 18 inches high. The flowers can get taller, 18 inches wide. So, you know, over 10 or 15 years, they may get a bit bigger, but they stay much more contained than are traditional yucca plants. They're kind of related. They look the same, but the Latin name on the red yucca is Hesperalo, to where yucca is just yucca. So they're kind of distant related, but they just, by both being desert natives, have a different form or a similar form.
All right. And you, some of the ones that you've mentioned before on the show this morning, even like catmint and lavender. Yeah, you even mentioned the Russian sage, I think, to one of our callers this morning. And the ice plant is one of my favorites.
Yes. And there are so many new colors of ice plants. There's whites and pinks and reds. That is one that there's been a lot of breeding and a lot of selection. That is compared to 10 or 15 years ago. There's just an incredible variety of ice plants out there. Now, I want to put out a word of warning on the catmint mm-hmm. and especially Russian sage. The species catmint and species Russian sage get big, and they're going to overwhelm flower beds. And so when you shop for those, make sure that you find the dwarf varieties, because they won't need to be supported and they're still going to be very water wise. But there are Russian sages out there that will stay down to 18 inches and catmints that stay under a foot. And so as you're shopping, I would encourage folks to look at tags to make sure that the particular plant, when it grows, you know, for 2 or 3 years, is going to fit the space where they plant it.
Right. And if you are in your car right now, couldn't write down the full list, or you're out in your yard doing some planting, you can find Ton's full list on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page right now. Coming back with more of your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, and right back to our phone lines. We have Grant waiting very patiently in Eagle Mountain. And good morning, Grant. How can we help you this morning? Grant, are you still there?
Yeah. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Maria, Ton, thank you for taking my call. So out here in Eagle Mountain, I've got what I call morning glory just eating me up alive. It's grown up through my mulch, it's grown up through my grass, through my rocks. And so I wonder if you can help me, what's the best way to take care of it, get rid of it?
So what do you have growing up through your, I apologize, but
it's computer. Morning glory.
Morning glory. Mm-hmm. Okay. So on the morning glory, there's a few things you can do now. The best time to spray it out of your lawn is in the fall. But if you wanted to use something now, if you could find a product such as Q4 Plus or another brand called Image, it's just a brand, but they'll have like a home weed killer that has quinclorac and sulfentrazone in it. There's a few things, but quinclorac, even something that has, like a Weed Be Gone with crabgrass killer in it would work too. But anything with quinclorac, you would spray during the spring and it would knock the bindweed back. But you might want to buy extra and do another application in the fall, because that's going to be the main time that you're going to kill it. Now, do you have bindweed growing up in garden or flower bed areas too?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So
I'd say it's worse in the flower beds growing up through the mulch, and in our garden, it's worse than in the lawn.
Well, in those areas, you need to be a little cautious, just because if you have desirable plants, you can easily kill them. But if it's kind of just like a clean slate, then in those areas, you can mix something like Roundup in with your quinclorac and get a slightly better kill. But the best time to do this is in the fall. But if you're going to be doing a lot of landscaping, then, you'd probably want to act sooner. Now, with these sprays, you need to follow the label, because they will sometimes have restrictions on, like, you have to either throw the grass clippings away or mulch them back into the lawn for up to a month. You want to be careful if you're going to be growing edibles and follow the label on those recommendations. And so I don't lightly recommend these, but if you have bindweed that bad in your situation, probably the only way you're going to get it under control quickly is through the use of herbicides.
Okay. Yeah, because we pull the best we can, but we can't keep up. So we've got extensive flower beds. Okay, so if I was to sum it up, it's quinflorac.
Yeah, quinflorac, and it can be found in Ortho's Weed Be Gone plus Crabgrass Control. Q4 Plus is another one that you can pick up from a lot of independent farm stores. There's another that's made by Image. That's just a brand, and they will have sometimes it's used as a replacement for the Q4 Plus. But if you can find the Image branded lawn weed killer, that would be another one you could look at.
Okay. And mix that with Roundup and just spray the leaves.
Yeah, spray the weeds. You want to make sure, actually, if you're going to do this and you have an irrigation turn, you want to do this after you've irrigated because you want that bindweed fat and sassy growing actively because it's easier to kill it when it thinks everything's hunky-dory.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll give
Thank
that a
you.
Shot.
Thanks for your call. Is that why you wait till the fall, too, a lot of times?
Well, for these deep-rooted perennials, you do want to make sure that they're irrigated and happy, but they will take those herbicides down into the roots and it sits there all winter. And because those herbicides sit in there all winter long, you get a lot better kill because they're exposed to it for far longer. You know, right now the energy and the nutrients stored in the roots are moving up. And so it's far harder to get good penetration into the roots with the herbicide. But in the fall, that is reversed and the nutrients being produced in the leaves are being stored. And so because they're drawing that stuff down into the roots, it's easier to kill.
All right. Next listener wants to know, how often should you fertilize geraniums that are planted in barrels?
I'm assuming that they have artificial soil. And if that's the situation, then you would irrigate or you would fertilize them according to label with either a liquid fertilizer like Miracle-Gro or similar, or Osmocote every few months or similar, and follow the instructions on the particular brand of fertilizer you purchased.
Okay. How about tomatoes that they have in those pots as well?
Same situation. Right. If they're in the garden, you would download USU's fact sheet and fertilize them very sparingly. But in those barrels, something like Miracle-Gro or Osmocote are fine for the tomatoes too.
All right. One more question before we take a break. Will hellebores be available in the fall for fall planting?
I don't know that I've ever seen them. They could
usually
be.
Usually see them early
yes.
spring and then.
Yeah,
They
could order them, possibly plant them. Actually, you may see them with the bulbs, with the tulips and the daffodils. And so if you see the starts then, the little corms, then you could put them in then. But otherwise, it's usually early spring.
All right. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. There's nothing like homegrown corn on the cob and red ripe tomatoes fresh from the garden. Learn the best practices for growing vigorous vegetables with USU Extension. Check out the online course at garden.usu.edu. Looking for some new perennials and grasses? Learn more from the experts at the Conservation Garden Park on Thursday, May 20th. Sign up at conservationgardenpark.org. Add spice to your life by learning about herb gardening with Weber Basin Water on May 19th. Find out more at weberbasin.com. And learn how to design your own annual flower container this week in a fun outdoor class at Ogden Botanical Gardens. Find out more at ogdenbotanicalgardens.org. Now a look at this week's quick tip.
Considering the extraordinary drought we are in, a great way to save water is to monitor your landscape to see what areas become drought-stressed first. You can then adjust your sprinkler clock to slightly increase the amount of water to these areas while slightly decreasing the amount of irrigation to areas that stay green. And remember, when sprinkler clocks are considered a set-it-and-forget-it device, lots of irrigation water is wasted.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.